no one that can match me. My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
I could have been a contender.
The new IBM World Champion Daniel Hill.
Here I come. Bang! This is the Manny Pacquiao who has dominated boxing.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
I am the greatest!
Now time for Radio Ringside with Peter Maniatis and Sri Visuasam, and thanks to Ultratune, 150 locales Australia-wide. G'day, Peter.
G'day, Finey, and another big show tonight.
We are going to head into one of the most famous boxing trainers' gyms, virtually, because we are going to be asking questions that happen in the gym of Billy Hussein. Of course, Billy Hussein is a trainer of world champion boxers and has an extensive knowledge right through the tiers of professional boxing that we see here in this country, from first starters to seasoned journeymen through to state title winners, on to international contenders and international champions. Would I be right in saying that he's the complete boxing trainer if there ever was one?
Oh, and also backpackers. I mean, his gym's open to anyone. He gets a stack of backpackers flooding through and people coming out of jail just wanting to turn around their lives. He's like a social worker plus a world-class trainer all in one.
It's a wonderful place where backpackers can meet ex-convicts. It was a funny collection there.
No, but what I'm saying,
from
to
A
the
to
top
Z.
Corporates, I mean, he's probably got guys from Telstra training there, to top corporates as well. It's from A to Z, exactly.
Sri Visuasam joins us once again. Great broadcaster, boxing expert, eastsideboxing.com to read, but you're the right place to listen. How are you, Sri?
Good, finally good to be here in another exciting show tonight.
And we'll also be covering off on world news, the latest in boxing, and there is still an aftermath, of course, to Pacquiao Mayweather, with disgruntled punters hoping to regain losses on waged on limited information that should have been and information that should have been available to them. How's that progressing, Sri?
Well, I guess as far as anything being resolved is concerned, nowhere at the moment. But I guess people are a bit unhappy that they didn't know about Pacquiao's injury beforehand.
No, but how many footy clubs, if you're going into a grand final, finding your coach in St Kilda, you know, Riewoldt's not 100%, what are you going to do on Tuesday night? Call the Herald Sun in and let them know exactly where the injury is and, you know, away we go. You don't do it.
Of course you don't.
You just don't.
Of course you don't. Let's put that aside because our special guest is ready for a chat. Billy Hussein is a leader, the resume speaks of somebody, as Peter said, from world champions to straightening people up or even giving maybe a tourist or people passing through town the opportunity to have a good hit out at a true boxing gym, but he's best served this country as a trainer of world champions. Good evening, Billy.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Very good. And, I mean, you're on. We've got you on the program to discuss a number of elements of boxing with you, but we need to start with Billy Dibb, of course, a star of the Hussein stable, as it were, and the Hussein team. And his knockout in Japan must bring up question marks. And the question mark is now at, I think, a third attempt to regain a world title. Is Billy outmatched at world level?
Tough question. I mean, he fought at the highest level. You know what I mean? That loss was very difficult. We knew when we got offered those fights and we sat down and obviously, you can't knock back fights at that level. The risk versus reward was outweighed by the reward by far than the risk itself. Just having Channel 9 on board and really the whole of Australia, the sponsorship that came with it, his purse, and of course, fighting for the WBC world title was huge for him. But we knew it was going to be difficult, and you know what? Maybe, that's probably his last run of that sort of magnitude fight, that level. Yeah, maybe, yeah. We haven't, like I said, haven't sat down and worked out our future plans. I just want him to enjoy some of the money that he got and enjoy himself. I mean, he worked hard for that fight, and he fought a great opponent. I mean, the guy is a champion for a reason, and unfortunately, we got hit one punch and it was all over.
Billy, there's no... we love Billy Dibb on the program. I hope people that listen didn't take that as a he's not good enough comment. There is absolutely no shame in being a world, a contender in world title bouts. It's climbing the pinnacle. It's almost touching the flag at the top of the mountain. But it's most importantly looking down on virtually every other boxer in Oceania and the southern continent. I mean, he's ahead of the pack, but the very top of the pack might have been out of his reach. So I hope you understand. I'm sure Billy understands that. That was no slur.
Oh, no, no. I mean, look, the Australian public, the Australian fight fans have been unbelievable. They've been very supportive. And, look, Billy belongs there. He has, mate. It happens at any level. I mean, any fight you go in, you're 50-50 of winning or losing, or you're one punch away from disaster, especially when you're fighting a Japanese guy that's got 90% ratio record of knockouts. And in Japan, they're unbelievable fighters. So we knew we're going to be uncomfortable from the minute we signed the contract. It was uncomfortable. We knew that. I mean, even in the ring, he was never, ever comfortable for two rounds or the 2.5 rounds that we fought. We knew it was going to be difficult. And when Billy signed on those dotted lines, we all knew what we were up against. We watched videos of the guy. Did Billy belong in there? Of course he did. Is it hard to rebuild again? Definitely very, very hard. I don't know physically, mentally he can rebuild and get two or three good wins under his belt again and try to fight for another title. I mean, he's been doing it for a very, very, very long time, and he turned pro at a young age. But he's done unbelievable out of the sport. I mean, he's a two-time world champion. I mean, if you want to count the IBO as a world title, he's a two-time world champion, legitimately. So he's already achieved amazing things in the sport at a young age and done really well financially out of the sport. He's very clever with his money. And, mate, he's not injured. He's not hurt. He's still upbeat. And he's got a big future outside the ring, too.
It is an interesting to see what Billy's next move will be. One fight that Australian fans have been particularly keen on is a fight with fellow Aussie Will Tomlinson. Do you feel like that fight could be a possibility now?
You know what? We've never, ever spoke about a fight with Will Tomlinson. Will Tomlinson's a fantastic fighter, but he's got a heart like Farley. But that kid is tough, and he's another one. If you're going to fight him, you know you're in for a tough fight. And he's in it for every minute, every round. He's competing. I can't see that fight happening. I don't think if Billy was ever going to fight again, or like I said, we haven't really spoken about what we're going to do. But if Billy was going to fight, he'd be looking at one quick fight and maybe, again, an eliminator or something like that, because I don't think he'll get up. Not saying that he's not going to get up for any Aussie, but I don't know if his body can go through and put in another 10, 12 weeks of hard effort to build two or three to fight someone like Will Tomlinson again. And they're tough fights as well. The reward's got to be very rewarding in that sort of fight, because Will is definitely one of the best super feather, but I think he's gone up to lightweight now, so I don't know.
Billy, let's move away from Billy Dibb. You run a gym where you've got a number of fighters from, say, lightweight to heavyweight or whatever. You might have a bantamweight right up to heavyweight. Finey and I had a debate about how you prepare a fighter, say, 2 weeks out from a fight as far as their weight's concerned. How far would you have them from striking distance of making, say, let's just say you've got a lightweight and he has to make 61 kilo. 2 weeks out, I mean, everyone's different, of course, but what ideally would you like his weight to be 2 weeks out, and what ideally would you like his weight to be a few days out from a fight?
I'm blessed. I've got a professional team. I don't do this on my own. My three brothers play a big part in what I do. Hussey, Skinny, and my younger brother, Maz. They're very experienced in the game. And the boxers that I work with, and I'm talking about, I've got Irish boxers, French, Aboriginal kids, and English, and Samoans, and Lebanese kids, and Australians, and New Zealanders. So all different nationalities, and all different kids mentally, emotionally, physically. So I've got a very, very good communication line between all of us. So we, I treat every one of them individually. Some struggle to make weight, some don't. So I work with the guys that that need help, like guys like Luke Jackson, Ahmadib, and Tony Bates don't need my help when it comes to weight. They're very professional. Even Lauren Eagle, very, very, very good at controlling their weight and understanding where they've got to be at. Some of the guys like Hassiel Hosseini and Bilal Babyface Dib and the Paul Flemings of the world, I've got to be there monitoring them. So 2 weeks out, I'd love them to sit around the 3 to 4 kilo mark out, maximum. I don't want them sparring too light anyway, you know what I mean? Because we're still working on the conditioning and sparring and working on what we got to do in the fight. So roughly between 3 to 4 kilos maximum out, 2 weeks out from the fight. But only the ones that I know need help and they ask for it. But the other ones that I know that are disciplined enough for themselves to do it on their own, like I said, the Luke Jacksons of the world, the Garth Woods, Lauren Eagles, Ahmadib, them guys, I'm never concerned about them because I know they're professional in their way. But guys like Paul Fleming, I've got to be on to him. And I mean, even though he's probably the most talented ones out of the lot, I still got to be on top of things and, you know, I can't let it slide. And that's one thing, as a trainer, I never want to turn up to weighings when our boys are overweight because it doesn't look good on me as a trainer. And I've got to pay attention to detail about everything they do. And look, it's my full-time job. I have to do it, and I want to do it. So my reputation is always on the line.
It is an interesting insight, Billy. Further to your gym, do you feel that with the recent Mayweather-Pacquiao bout, are you seeing a more of an interest in boxing by the level of participants at your gym?
Man, I'm blessed. We're running two boxing gyms now. I've got the one where most of the fighters train out of, which is in Body Punch Boxing Gym in Lekemba. It's run by myself and my brothers. That's where mainly the main boxers train out of. And I'm also in partnership with Lauren Eagle in Tarrant Point in the Shire, Southern Shire area, Cronulla. It's more, I train her out of that gym and I train a couple other young guys from that area out of the gym. But it's more boxer size. So that gym's really picked up a lot. It's only new. It's only been 6 months. That's really picked up after the Mayweather. Mine, thank God, and obviously it's the community is right behind me and we've got a really good reputation. And mine's always been really busy, that gym. It's been really, really busy. I mean, we get 50 to 60 guys walk in through every night training there. We've got about 15 professional boxers and 10 to 12 amateur boxers. So I'm blessed and I couldn't do it without the help of obviously the community. And guys like Billy Dib has really put me on the map in our area. And I mean, every one of them's played a part, even the young amateur kids. And they go out on social media and always plug the gym and myself and you know, most importantly, it's about the kids. And like I said to you, it's a full-time job for me. I want to do it. I never say, I never, ever, ever, if I lose a boxer, say, far out, I lost a boxer. No, because I've committed to it and I wanted to do it. Things happen in life, you know, trainers, boxers don't have that chemistry. And you got to sometimes, I got to walk away or they got to walk away, but you still remain friends. But I'm blessed, man. I mean, God's given me more than what I deserve, to be honest. And I can't be thankful enough. I'm living my dream.
Billy, let's look into the future. If we had to say, write down names in the black book. I mean, obviously, when a fighter goes into the gym and he starts working as a professional, you know if he's state level, you know if he's national level, you know if he's regional level, you know if he can maybe fight for a world title, then you probably think you get a special one where you think this guy, like your Billy Dib, can win a couple of world titles. Are there any fighters out there, not that you just train or anyone that you've seen that can carry on the name in Australian boxing, say, in the next 5 years that we just jot down in the black book? What name would you give us? If we had to give us two or three names, what are the two or three names you think is a fighter right out there at the moment? Mate, it doesn't have to have, you might be an amateur, might be a fully-fledged professional. Anyone that you think's worth jotting down in the black book as a future world champion?
Future world champion?
Okay. Or maybe fight for a world title?
Look, I'm going to be a little bit biased. I'm going to start with the guys I spend a lot of time with. A lot of the kids that I work with have got a lot of discipline and have got the desire of doing that. I know their limitation. I know with some managers that I work with, a la Mike Altamira, who has got I've got a great understanding with. And obviously, Pete, you're a promoter and you manage some good kids and you've got a lot of boys on under your banner and you know the game better than anyone. You've got to have the right promoter behind you to guide you because it's smart business. The thing why I've got a good relationship with Mike is because I spend the time in the gym with all the boys. I know what they can do, what they can't do, what they can handle, what they can't handle. And he gives me the free rein to be able to have a lot of input. So in regards to the question you asked, I honestly believe Paul Fleming is the gun. He's the gun at the moment. We've kept him under the radar for reasons, and